Welcome to the Graceway Weekly Message Podcast. At Graceway, our mission is to bring the future kingdom into the present, and we hope this message encourages you to know and enjoy God, find friends, discover your purpose, and make a difference in your community. Enjoy today's message.
Pastor Tim, you know, mentioned the last time that I was here, that was about 2.5 years ago, and talked to you about hearing God in suffering and told a longer version of my story then. And obviously, Pastor Tim, you know, mentioned some of that just now. For those of you who don't know me, I'll tell you a little bit about what the last 10 years has been like for me. There's really kind of been a trifecta of three major things that happened that really significantly altered the course of my life in ways that I could not have ever anticipated or expected, certainly not planned for. In 2016, I was married to my high school sweetheart. We were married in college. We'd been together a long time. We had four beautiful children. Our children at that time were about 5 to 15, within that range. We had moved from Kansas City. Actually, we lived in Kansas City in the 90s. We moved from Kansas City in 2001 to plant a church in St. Louis. And I knew that Darren was called to be a pastor, definitely called to be a church planter. It was clear to me that the obedient step was to go, but I really went into church planting kicking and screaming, if I'm honest with you. It's not an easy endeavor. It was very challenging. But God really blessed that church in ways that we were not anticipating. We thought we would be lucky if we had maybe 200 or 300 people, that we'd be so blessed if that were the case. The church ended up growing very quickly, exponentially, which was incredible. We saw so many amazing things happen, so many people come to the Lord. But also really challenging to grow at that pace and to try to keep up with that along with a growing family. Darren was also prominent in the church planting world. We had a very full, busy, very stressful life in a lot of ways. And mostly unbeknownst to me, Darren really started just personally collapsing internally at some point in those years. And so in 2016, through a series of events, it became clear that he had just personally imploded in just about every way and was really in need of some help. And so, devastatingly for us, he was actually removed, fired from the church that we had planted. And we entered a year or so of restoration that continued for a couple of years after that. But terrible, terrible, difficult time for us. He was in desperate need of help. I was absolutely trying to hold our family together. But we came out of that. And we're really doing well in a lot of ways. And we're looking to move forward with our life and what we might do together, you know, from that point, particularly in being able to help pastors not end up in that spot. And what that might look like going forward. And then in 2020, as Pastor Tim mentioned, really for reasons that we do not understand at all, Darren took his own life on May 7th of 2020. That's not a call you want to get. That's a visit at the door with law enforcement that I never thought I would have and set me on a different path. At that point of dealing with the loss of my husband, who was the love of my life, becoming a single mother to four children at that point who had very different needs and who were all in their own stages of horrible grief in losing their father, played out very publicly the entire thing in the middle of COVID, and was, you know, forced to consider what might it look like to be rebuilding my life from the ground up at midlife at this point. Extremely painful, tragic time for our family. So we really entered into a season of grief and just huddling together and taking care of each other and doing the work with the Lord that we needed to do to find healing and moving in that direction, which we have continued to do since then. But about 18 months after that, my parents were at my house for Thanksgiving, and I hugged them both and said goodbye to them that evening. only to get a call a couple of hours later that they both had COVID. And 2 weeks later, my otherwise very healthy, vibrant, loving, godly dad was dead. 2 weeks later. So one of my main sources of support and strength and honestly a male in my life who was really significant was gone as well, which set me on another path of grief for a parent and also put me very much in both an emotional and physical caretaking situation with my mom. Who since I was here last time, actually, her health has declined significantly. She is now suffering terribly from dementia in a memory care unit. Really, again, a very sad situation that has also forced me into an avenue of life that I wasn't considering or expecting. So I am certainly a woman whose life has not gone in the direction that she thought it would. More than a few times, on multiple levels. The circumstances of life have forced me in ways that I never, ever could have imagined to make some massive pivots and U-turns and to rebuild a life as best I could with the Lord's help and graciousness to me that had just been smashed to smithereens. I've had to consider the author of my story and my story in much more significant ways than I ever thought I would. And I'm grateful for that because of where it has brought me today. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about the reality that God is writing your story. God is writing your story. God is writing my story. God is writing your story. God is writing the stories of every person who has ever lived and who has come before us. He is writing the story. So I hope to leave you today with a reminder of God's sovereignty, he is in control, of his faithfulness and his goodness in your story. I hope that you will leave with a deeper sense of trust in the author of that story, who is completely trustworthy. And I hope that you will have a renewed peace and an energized resolve. An energized resolve to cooperate with and to live well and to show all the way up into the story that God is writing for you. So that's where we're headed. So we're going to look at a passage from the book of Acts today as kind of foundational for some of these principles that I'm going to talk about. Acts is a wild book of the Bible, yes? Woo, there's a lot happening in Acts. Talk about reminders that God is writing the story and doing incredible things. But we're going to look at Acts 17. We're going to start in verse 22. The context here is Paul was on his missionary journey through Macedonia and Greece and had ended up in the city of Athens. And the city of Athens was this big cosmopolitan city where lots of people who were kind of on the cutting edge of thinking and philosophizing were, and they were talking about all of these things. And there were also lots of monuments and statues and temples to all the possible things that people might be worshiping within that city. Not unlike our cities today, yes? Maybe not statues or temples in the same way, but evidence of what we worship is all around us. And Paul was paying attention to what he was seeing there, and he was having conversations with some of these civic and intellectual leaders who were around talking to these about these things. And so in Acts 17, we see him stand up and deliver what is now a very famous sermon, where he very plainly lays out who God is, but also gives some beautiful principles about our faith and life and God and Jesus in there, and was very clear in his message there. It's one of my very favorite, most favorite passages of scripture. So I'm gonna read this for the context of where we're going today and thinking about our own stories. Acts 17, starting in verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought to not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Praise God. So I'm going to talk to you today just about a few principles that have some roots in this passage, but that have to do with our stories and God as the author of them. The first is that God determines the boundaries of our lives for our good and his glory. God determines the boundaries of our lives for our good and his glory. Your life is not an accident, nor are the circumstances of it, nor is it happening in some kind of random, haphazard way. There is a design, and there is a designer. This means that the family that you were born into, the place you were born, the place where you now live, all the places that you have lived, your interests, your talents, your strengths, all the beautiful ways that God has designed you are not accidental. There is a purpose, and that purpose is about you for your good, and it is also for the glory of God and the kingdom of God and what he is doing in the world. I love the language that Paul uses here when he says that there are allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. God has put some parameters around our lives. We have no idea how long we'll live. God does. We don't know where we're going next, what circumstances might send us in this direction or this one or this one, how God might direct our thinking about what's next for us. We don't know any of those things, but God knows all of those. And he says that the purpose is that perhaps we might feel our way toward him and find him. So all of these details and circumstances of your story, the good, the bad, the ugly, the tragic, the beautiful, the extraordinary, the ordinary, which we'll talk about in just a moment, are all written by the great storyteller who has such purpose in our stories beyond what we will ever understand. I've been blessed with a lot of incredible opportunities in my life. I'm so grateful. I have four beautiful children. I'm an only child. I never thought I would have four children. I've learned so much from all of those wonderful things that have happened that have surprised me in those ways. There are things that are more ordinary than I thought they would be. I'm a Midwestern girl who had some dreams of maybe being elsewhere. I've lived my entire life, adult life, in the state of Missouri. There's nothing wrong with Missouri, by the way. But it wasn't really what I thought. If you told me when I was 18 years old, you're gonna live the majority of your adult life in Missouri, I would have said, well, okay, that's not really, okay, guess we'll go with that. And I don't know where God will send me next. But I have lived here because I have tried to cooperate and be obedient with where God was directing me and have accepted the place where he has called me to be. And then there were some things that I have not planned on at all. I did not help plant a church and give significant good years of my adult life to that with the thought that I would leave it behind one day in the way that we did. I thought I would die serving that church. I thought that was the end game. God wrote a different story. I did not think I would be a widow. If you were a married person, you know that that's a possibility. Certainly did not think it would be my story. I did not think I would be a single parent to four children at midlife and be making all of the decisions and walking through all of the things you do with your children as they're leaving home at those ages by myself. I didn't think I would be doing any of those things. That was not in the story or any version of the story that I considered. But God was not surprised. He was not surprised at all because he was writing the story all along. Sometimes he writes the story with opportunities and with expanding our lives in these beautiful ways and saying yes when we ask. And it's beautiful when he writes a story that way. But sometimes he writes it through delays, long delays, or limits that we do not like. I don't want to be hemmed in like this. Sometimes he writes it through loss, little losses, big losses, tragic losses, things that alter the course of our entire lives. Sometimes he writes it by telling us no. We say, here's the dream, and he says, no. It's something else. But one is not better than the other. It is all the story that God is writing. And it's in service of something greater, which again is both about you and what is for your good, and also about a kingdom that is much bigger than you, that we get to be a part of. What a privilege. What a privilege to let God write the story. Second, mystery and pain are unavoidable in this life. They are unavoidable. If you have not experienced them yet, you will at some point. And we don't understand why we don't all experience them to the same degree or in the same way, or in the same kind of timing. It does feel random and certainly unfair and certainly unpredictable at times. Life is messy and really hard. It really is. It's just the truth. I had a friend several years ago who was going through a really challenging time in her life, and she just in a moment of vulnerability and being real with me said, I just thought life would be a lot more accommodating than it's turned out to be. Yes. Yes and amen. Me too. Me too, sis. Not so accommodating, life, a lot of the times. And often, I think, when we experience these circumstances that are mysterious and that we cannot find a reason for, and we long to find a reason, or pain that is just unimaginably devastating, we like to latch on to reasons or explanations for why these things might be happening. This happened. I think it's because of this. I think God's showing me this. I think this is the purpose now. I think this is the plan. And we know some things about that, and we can, and it's good to lean into that and to want to know. I certainly know at this point in my life that I have sat in a seat that allows me to be helpful to people in ways that I did not expect. So I work for a ministry right now that's focus is the health of Christian leaders. I've lived some things about that. I've seen some things. I know some things. And I'm so honored that God has written a story that allows me to be helpful in that way. But you know what? I don't think I know the half of it. I don't think I know the half of it at this point. And I don't say that in a way that is about building myself up, but rather to just encourage you, God is always doing more than we can see. Always. There's so much more happening than we can see. And there's so much in your story that you will, and I will, never understand on this side of heaven. I hope that one day that we'll be able to see how all the threads of the tapestry fit together and all the things that were happening that we could have never known. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you to leave some room for God, for a purpose in your story that is bigger than what you might think. Let's not limit God to a narrow definition that fits in a little paragraph about how he might want to use us in our story or what might happen next or where we're going next. It's a lot of mystery in how these stories unfold. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, and this is Paul again, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known." We're looking at a mirror that's pretty foggy at this point. And I think that's why, too, Paul in this Acts passage talks about that we might feel our way toward him, you know? The way that he invites us and draws us to himself is a mystery much of the time. I want to remind you, too, with this idea of pain being unavoidable, that if you're suffering, you're not alone. No one completely avoids pain in this life. We just can't. It's not possible. The people that you think are avoiding it by all the ways that people try to avoid it, I'm telling you, there's still pain in their life somewhere. It's been that way since Genesis. God is not surprised by our pain. And sometimes it's pain that we had nothing to do with. And sometimes it's pain that we've brought upon ourselves in one way or another. But God will use your pain nonetheless. He will use your pain regardless. He is with you in it, and he will use the pain in your story one way or another. We cannot avoid mystery, things we don't understand. We cannot avoid pain and suffering. But we can trust the author who was writing the story that includes those things. Next, I want to remind you and encourage you that life in Christ is both ordinary and extraordinary. It is both those things all of the time. A lot of life happens in the ordinary tasks and events of daily life. I don't really like that all that much, if I'm honest with you. There's a lot of the daily that is very mundane. It's the same thing over and over and over again. People keep having to eat and wear clean clothes, I guess. Bills have to be paid, apparently. Sometimes we're in these jobs that just day after day, the same thing, how long, oh Lord? Yes? With no door out another direction. This is it. There's a lot of life that is in the drive from here to there and the picking up the kid from school and the doing the same thing day after day after day after day after day. But God is working in the ordinary, and no one's life is only ordinary. You can live out your ordinary life in extraordinary ways if you decide you want to pay attention to what God is doing in the ordinary instead of distracting yourself from it. We are really good at distracting ourselves from the mundane and the ordinary of our lives, where God is just waiting to show us what he might want to do. And I'm not promising you that every load of laundry is going to turn into an extraordinary experience. But what would happen if we did things like this? What would happen if you were the person in the line at the grocery store who was not on their cell phone? You might be the only one. But what will that allow you to see and to be invited to and to act on that no one else is paying attention to? What might it be like if we could do some things to grow our attention span a little bit so that we could stay with things for longer than the 20-second sound bites that are delivered to us, so that we could stay with people when they need to tell us a long story or when they are in pain for a long time? What if we could stay with things like that instead of flitting on to the next thing and trying to remove ourselves from the ordinary? What if we really learned to rest? What if we really learned to rest in ordinary ways? What if we got good at taking a nap now and then so that we could be equipped and energized to go out into our ordinary lives? What if we attended to the little details of our life with excellence because we know that they matter in the kingdom of God? Our ordinary lives carry a lot of extraordinary in them, and God is writing that story and wants us to see what he's doing and to be a part of it. And God is still in the extraordinary business too. He is still in the business of miracles and the unexpected, and wants us to ask him in faith for big things and to dream big dreams and to have vision beyond the ordinary right now. It's not one or the other. It's both. There is a lot in my story over the last 10 years almost now that has been very mundane and ordinary and painfully difficult in just the little details of all the things. Single mothers, I see you. It's hard to do all these things by yourself. It really is, and it's boring and mundane and awful, a lot of it, truly. But I have also seen God's faithfulness in extraordinary ways that I never could have planned and was far beyond what I could have ever imagined before all the tragedy and after all the tragedy. If you want to slow down and feel like life is not just rushing by you in a sea of being distracted from the ordinary all the time, this is the way that we stay with God in the mundane, everyday things, and we sit on his lap like a child and ask our dad for the big things too. God is writing your story in both the ordinary and the extraordinary. Finally, your best life is one that is lived in full surrender to him. Your best life is one that is lived in full surrender to him. If you want the story with the best, most interesting plot, full of meaning, full of purpose, that takes all of who you are, who God has made you to be, and maximizes it all the way. If that's what you want, surrender is not just an option or your best option, it's your only option. It's your only option. God is the one who is writing the story. He has the pen. Can we, will we surrender to the one holding the pen instead of trying to find something over here and write on our own little scraps of paper? Anything else is a diminished, subpar, less than story. It is far less, it will be far less than what God has intended for you. And I hope it's obvious by now that doesn't mean I'm saying it will be easy, or that you can predict it, or that it won't have mystery and suffering and difficulty in it, because it certainly will, because that's true for all of us. I think there's something that often happens when difficulty and pain and tragic circumstances hit, when we tend to say, this should never have happened. This was not supposed to go this way. This was not supposed to be this way. And there is truth in that, and that we know that in this broken and fallen world, that life isn't as it's supposed to be. There is more than this. Thanks be to God. Yes? We know this isn't all of it. And yes, there are things we can say, this doesn't feel like this is the way it's supposed to be. But there is a necessary acceptance of, but this is what it is. This is what it is. And if I choose to stay back here in the what should have been and what was supposed to be, I will never experience the story that God is writing now. We have to surrender that alternate story, the belief that things should have played out another way, and that what I'm living now is a inferior, less than experience, because that's not what God says. Can I cooperate? Will I cooperate with the work of the Spirit in my life? I love this passage in Acts that we started with, because Paul very clearly explains who God is and that the way to him is Jesus alone. And he dismantles much of what was being worshiped in that culture and at that time, but he also reminds them, you will answer. There will be a day when we will all answer for the lives that we've been given. And so what I am challenging you to today, from both this ancient sermon from Paul and also from what I have lived in my own life, I am challenging you to lean into the story that God is writing and also to lean into the author. He is trustworthy. He is good. He is writing a better story than you ever will. And so the challenge is, what do you want to do with that today? What do you want to do with that? I hope that you will consider, is there one thing that God might be asking me to do? Maybe it's this bit of, I need to lean into the ordinary a little bit more than I have been. Maybe there's a level of accepting some part of the story that you haven't yet, as opposed to the what should have been, what was supposed to be. Maybe it's just giving God all your fear about what's next. Living in faith does not mean you're never afraid. I'm afraid all the time. We're afraid and we trust him anyway. So I want to pray for you wherever you're at today. I think too, there are likely some of us here who have a story that we just don't like at all right now. And I understand. But I want to ask God to supernaturally meet you where you are today with his comfort and provision and also a clear step for you to take forward from this place. May I pray for you? God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the obvious, incredible things that you are doing here. God, thank you that you are writing all of our stories. Thank you that you have a plan that is for our good and also for your glory and the good of everyone. Thank you that you see our pain, that mystery is not mystery to you, that you are not surprised by the events of our life. God, I ask today for those who are struggling in the suffering and who are hurting that you would comfort them in supernatural ways, that you would be present in ways that surprise them even in the most ordinary moments. And I also pray for those of us who are in a stable place right now, that you would give us a specific word of encouragement and comfort to the people that we know who need it. Help us to be people who believe for the people around us who can't quite believe yet. I pray that you would continue to create a body of people here who doesn't shy away from suffering and mystery and pain, but who puts arms around those who are struggling and lives as the hands and feet of Jesus to those people. God, we ask you in our midst today to speak powerfully to those who need you who need your comfort, who need vision, that you are the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith and our stories. God, we thank you for your incredible goodness and faithfulness to us. I thank you for all the ways you have taken care of and continue to take care of me and of all of the people in this room. And we praise you for what you have done and for what you are doing amongst us right now. In Jesus' name, amen.